Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air, and we are glad you're with us, Bob and Dima. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg on a cloudy afternoon. Kelly Santer is in New Orleans at Sunbelt Media Day. We're going to be joining him just momentarily. Opening segment of the show, sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss, great supporters of our program, good friends of ours, we're happy to say. And always glad to promote the fine Dickey's Barbecue guys and their great staff, and we appreciate all they do. All right, Heath Hinton, Big Gold Nation, going to be joining us later. He talked to head football coach Will Hall earlier this morning, who, by the way, I heard from just a few moments ago. And Kelly Santer, Will Hall, sent me a text and said for us to work on Dima and convince him that they will win more than four games this year.
Well, there's proof in the pudding, and I guess that's predicated on Coach Hall and his staff. I know they really think that their team is underestimated, which, you know, that's what you want to think going into the season. But I'll tell you what, Bob, there is optimism over the top down here in New Orleans today as the teams from the Eastern Division have taken the stage, right, following the Commissioner Keith Gill's State of the Conference address this morning, where he talked about the success of the Sun Belt Conference and how, really, when you look at it, you know, 12 bowl participants last year, more than any other conference outside, you know, the Power Five, and the fact that the Sun Belt split with the Big 12 last year in games that they played, and really he really stressed the importance of getting a degree over necessarily grabbing NIL money. And it's interesting because a lot of the players here today have been harping upon that as well, that yeah, perhaps there might be a better deal out there for you, but there might not be. Mm-hmm. And as these players talk to each other on social media and, you know, through phone calls and text messages, guys that entered the transfer portal in hopes of going to greener pastures will text and call and say, "You guys, I made a mistake and I should have stayed." So these are some of the things that both teams and players are going to have to deal with going forward. But as we look at the Eastern teams, Bob and Dima, boy, Appalachian State, everybody falling all over themselves over App State here today, and how they really think that Appalachian State is loaded for bear, and that in this extended college football playoff, you know, they're working on getting a Sun Belt team a guaranteed spot in the CFP, you know, if not now, in the future. So there are a lot of things to talk about here at the Sun Belt Conference Media Day in New Orleans.
All right, Dima, before we continue, are you ready to upgrade that four-game prediction in case Coach Hall is listening right now?
Well, I just want to say the only reason anybody knows what my prediction is because of you two. So I wasn't ready to say it until y'all both said it. But it's not a certainty that that's what I'm going with to start the season. Yeah. So, like I said, when that was so well known to everybody, you know, a lot can change from now till I make my final prediction, which will come out the week of the opening game. Right.
Welcome to the Eagle Hour.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Kelly,
I know what to say next time.
Yeah, Kelly, I got several questions for you, I recognize full well, and we want to focus on that. This is Football Media Day. But is that the only sport Commissioner Gill talked about? Did he talk about the Sun Belt as a whole, or was it strictly football?
Pretty much football, although in an interview that you will hear in days to come on the Eagle Hour, I was able to corner him and ask him specifically about the role of baseball in the league going forward. For example, there's, you know, great pomp and circumstance, you know, revolving around, you know, the beginning of the football season, as it should be. That's the financial bell cow for most of the universities. But they also have a very nice media day for basketball, but very little, if anything, for baseball. And I said, Commissioner, when you look at the strength of baseball teams in this league, and really very little thought, you know, has been given about a media day for baseball. And he agreed. He said, you know what, that is really something that we as a league need to look at, because baseball continues to become more and more prominent as far as teams participating in postseason play. We have a higher percentage of our teams that, you know, are hosting regionals, and he mentioned Southern Miss hosting super regionals. So baseball is definitely stepping up to the plate, if you will, and it would not surprise me if in the near future the Sun Belt starts paying, you know, really more attention and having media day for baseball, for example. Good. Like they do for football and basketball.
All right, Kelly, why should we all be so sold on Appalachian State? What did you hear today at media day that may have sold you on Appalachian State?
Well, I know, I'm glad you guys are sitting down, but they have a proven starting quarterback.
there's that.
Yeah. Now, he's from California, so, I don't know about that. But they've got a lot of pieces already in place. They won their last five games of the year last season. They played in the Sun Belt Championship game. They think that that's where they're going to be again this year. And you guys, the gauntlet has really been laid down for the Western Division teams, because when you talk to media members down here, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, because a lot of these guys and ladies do cover the Eastern Division, but there seems to be a consensus down here that the Eastern Division is far stronger than the West this year. And I try to see it with my eyes rather than my heart, but I just don't see that. It might be a little bit overall. Of course, a game hasn't been played yet, but I think there's going to be some teams in the West that are pretty strong as well. But they will take center stage tomorrow here in New Orleans.
Does the App State quarterback ride on a unicycle? Is that something that he does? Or
no, I asked him. I asked him about that, and he said, "What's a unicycle?"
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's real important to him, but no, and they have an outstanding wide receiving core too.
Yeah.
At Appalachian State. And, of course, we did get to speak with the preseason defensive player of the year, Jason Henderson, out of Old Dominion. This is his second trip to Media Day. And he was the one that was really making a good point about, you know, about chasing NIL money and things like that. And he said he could have gone to a lot of other schools. But he said, the coaches treat us like family. I understand what I have here, and it's not worth the risk that I take in leaving a very comfortable and good situation for me to roll the dice and to go to a situation that might turn out to not be as good for me. And again, I think that's something that all athletes and coaches are going to have to deal with in the future, re-recruiting their players.
How many new coaches have you heard from today? I know most of them are in the Western Division, but I think there's a handful of teams in the...
Yeah, Bob Chesney, got to speak with him this morning. Of course, he's at James Madison, and
right.
I wanted to talk to Coach Chesney because the Eagles will play at James Madison this year. And, you know, one of the things I asked him about coming from Holy Cross to James Madison is judging talent. You know, I mean, if you're used to judging talent that's good enough to play at Holy Cross, how do you know that they're good enough to play at James Madison? And that's the first thing that he had to deal with besides putting a staff together. But they've got a very rich football tradition, like at Southern Miss, you know, won AA national champions, I don't know how many times. And they've got all kinds of resources at James Madison. The other common thread you hear, you guys down here, is, and this, like the high school athletes to hear this, they keep talking about culture. And we don't have any room on this team for guys who are not here making good decisions. If you have a history of making bad decisions or this is not where you need to be. You know, that's a common thread with all of the teams down here. So you're seeing more and more of that what you do off the field, what you put on your social media, how you present yourself in public means a great deal, not only to the coaches, but to the players as well.
Yeah. Kelly, describe if you can just kind of the overall vibe there.
I think more so than last year, I think there's a real hint of optimism, especially among the Eastern Division teams, but also just ready for football season to begin. Interestingly, the guys are all talking about the new EA Sports game. We talked about Jason Henderson of Old Dominion. He's on that game. I mean, he's one of the people in that game. That's the other thing that the App State players and the App State coaches would talk about. Their team was, you know, featured prominently in that game. Something that has not, you know, that a new version of that game has not come out, and Dima could probably better address that than I. The fact that teams in the Sun Belt are being held in that high regard, and that everybody, even the Power Five, seem to be in a consensus that the Sun Belt is the best of the rest. You know, I think a lot of people thought, well, the AAC is probably, well, that's not, you know, to listen to people down here. And again, you take it with a grain of salt if they're a little biased, but the commissioner backed it up with, you know, winning percentages in bowl games, you know, 57% of winning percentage in bowl games, the split with the Big 12 and the different games they're playing. Georgia Southern this year, their first two games are against Boise State and Ole Miss. So upgrades in the schedules as well, the way the Sun Belt are playing more of the Power Five teams. And yeah, so they're going to get a chance to, you know, if they want to battle for a national championship, they're going to have to prove that they can beat some of these teams during the regular season. And more Sun Belt teams are scheduling these games. And the Power Five schools are reciprocating by playing Sun Belt school.
Hang on that thought, Kelly. We're going to continue with Kelly Center from Media Day in New Orleans. Sun Belt Media Day. More from Kelly and the Big Easy next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Genesis of Hattiesburg, that's the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're very proud they are. Genesis sedans and SUVs are absolutely fine, as is their new showroom on Highway 98 West. Check it out. They'd be glad to see you there, Genesis of Hattiesburg. Also want to thank our good buddies at Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg, Facebook page extraordinaire. Mo Bay Beignet, where you can enjoy delicious beignets cooked to order. And they're always fresh. They're always delicious. And we always appreciate everything that Mo Bay Beignet Company does for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. You can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Kelly Sander continues reporting from Media Day down in New Orleans. The East Division was completed today. Dima will be on the road early in the morning to cover the West. And all right, Kelly, so outside of App State, what coach, what presentation impressed you the most?
Georgia Southern's. They were right out of the gate. Clay Helton was talking about, you know, that schedule that they're you know, that they're playing their first two games against Boise State and against Ole Miss, talking about, you know, the playing environments in both of those different areas and the traditions that both of those schools bring. A lot of talk about upgrading schedules, making schedules even tougher. Old Dominion has a brutal, brutal schedule this year. You know, playing, I know, Virginia Tech and South Carolina and some other, you know, big-name schools. But it seems to be that teams and athletic directors are embracing this, you know, again, with the whole notion that if the Sun Belt is going to make the big jump and compete for a national championship in an expanded college football playoff format, they've got to prove on a regular basis that they can hang with these teams. And they all seem to think, Bob and Dima, that the transfer portal has done nothing but help the Sun Belt Conference, that it's leveled the playing field with some of these bigger schools, because obviously you can't sign everybody, right? Kind of like what Southern Miss Baseball talks about. We can't, you know, we can't have everybody. Well, there's still lots of good talent out there that's looking for a place to play, and they think that the winners in that contest is going to be the Sun Belt, because if indeed they're the best of the rest and they've got some opportunities to play, that it's going to cause all the teams to be upgraded. You know, I was talking to Charles Huff this morning, the head coach at Marshall, and the Thundering Herd come to Hattiesburg, and he talked about how difficult it is to play in Hattiesburg. And he talked about the state of Mississippi in general. You know, he focused on how Will Hall was specifically recruiting the state of Mississippi. And he said that that is something that the state of Mississippi doesn't get near the credit it should on a national scale. Now, he was talking to a Mississippi guy, right? But he was saying that the state of Mississippi doesn't get the credit it deserves as far as producing top-notch football talent in particular. And he thinks that all this is all going to come together for Will Hall. And he said that he thought his team in the East is underestimated, and he thinks that Will Hall's team in the West, that they're the two teams that are being overlooked the most. But the bottom line is, he said, Will and I both have to prove all these people wrong. And I said, I look forward to that challenge.
You mentioned the tough schedules, and you're right. And I know we've been talking a lot about upstate. You know, they actually go on the road to Clemson in the second week of the season. And, you know, with the talent on that team, that seems like a game that could be, you know, Clemson's coming right off of, I think they played Georgia week one, right? So then they're going to play App State at home. That seems like a kind of a trap game for the Tigers. Maybe App State can get a big win for the Sun Belt.
Well, and Clemson is not exactly a team that's been, you know, of course it's tough to keep up the pace that they had, you know, in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So Clemson's been a team that, you know, Dabo Swinney has said, this is the way we're going to do things and we're not going to waver. And Clemson has compared to what they're used to doing, they've been down a little bit. So wouldn't that be a statement for App State to beat Clemson? But that's one of the games that they're talking about.
Right.
You know, this is a chance for the Sun Belt to put its best foot forward. And, of course, Southern Miss has a chance to beat an ACC team in South Florida. So, you know, and that'll be a game in Hattiesburg as well. So these schedules, when you look at a lot of these schedules for these Sun Belt teams, and the fact that the commissioner was talking too, that the fact that there are 12 teams in the Sun Belt that played bowl games last year, a majority of your Sun Belt games, conference games, are going to be, as it turns out, against bowl teams from last year. So how could you argue that strength of schedule would not be in the Sun Belt's favor when you're playing that many bowl games, bowl teams rather, even though they are conference games?
What would it take, Kelly, in your opinion, for a Sun Belt team to make the playoff?
Well, boy, that's a good question, Dima. I think that it would. You couldn't have any more than two losses, but I don't think that's any different than any other. You know, I don't think that that's different than any other league necessarily. But one of the things the commissioner talked about this morning is they're trying to jockey themselves and put themselves in a position to where whoever won the Sun Belt Conference title game would be promised a spot, as it were, kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament, where whoever wins the conference championship would be given one of those spots in the expanded playoff, considering the Sun Belt is held in such high regard by these Power Five. You know, because they said if the Power Five had nothing to gain by scheduling these Sun Belt conference games, they would not be scheduled. This is, make no mistake, people talk about the money, and yeah, that's all important. But if they got nothing to gain out of beating a Sun Belt team, they wouldn't necessarily schedule some of these teams. So it does speak to how highly regarded the Sun Belt is becoming, if not already, by the Power Five.
What did the commissioner say, if anything, Kelly, about what he perceives as the future of Sun Belt football? Was there any mention, questions about any potential expansion?
And Bob, we talked about that specifically, and our listeners will be able to hear that in the days to come from the commissioner. But he said right now 14 is a really good number for Sun Belt. Interestingly, though, based on the conversation that you and I and Dima had the other day on the air, if the conference were to expand, he was very clear in saying, I really, really like the regional concept, you know, of staying as closely within the footprint that has already been set. So, you know, I said, do you have any schools in mind? He said, let me just say that I like that regional concept. So I don't think that, you know, although our choices of Louisiana Tech and Memphis and Tulane might not necessarily be who he was thinking about, I don't think we're far off based on what he was talking about, keeping regional rivalries and the geographical locations about where games could, that fans could get to easily, that people could travel to easily, that the teams can get to and from without too much trouble. So I don't think we're probably too far off in what we were thinking there. But right now, it's not a priority.
Well, then I would think, too, that would depend on what happens in some of the other conferences as well, right?
Of course. You know, if some schools don't have a place to play, you know, you invite them in, give them a cup of coffee, and talk about, you know, what their plans are for the future. You know, but and that's something you said, it's constantly evolving. The lawsuits about, you know, the lawsuit that was the ruling that just came down about, you know, how much are we going to be able to pay players now, and that's all going to have to be navigated. But he was very very complimentary of the way the NCAA has handled this very tough situation so far. And of course, he's got to walk that tight line with the NCAA. But as soon as that's the biggest thing regarding college football right now is how they're going to handle that compensation for players. And that's all he really focused on, other than, you know, the Sun Belt Conference and the things that they've been able to accomplish on the field.
And when you meet him in person, he's very impressive, isn't he, Kelly?
Yeah, he is, and very, very down to earth. You know, I did not realize that he came from a football background. I didn't realize that he played football. But so he's obviously very cognitive and aware about how important football is, particularly in the Deep South. And Bob Chesney, you know, the new coach at James Madison, who came down from the blue blood country of the Ivy League conference down there at Holy Cross. He even said, you know, as a football coach, I get it. But he said, what I didn't get is how football is almost a religion in the South. Yeah. He said, I learned that real quick. So he said, we better get out of the gate quickly, or I might get run out of town.
All right, 45 seconds left, Kelly. I want you to be honest with me now. I don't want you to shoot me no line of bull.
Okay.
How many plates of lunch did you get in before you had to go back to work?
I know you think I'm free. I had a 6-inch turkey sub with no condiments and a bag of barbecued potato chips. That's it, Bob. I'm telling you, man, I've been Patrick at Anatomies can verify my story. I've been exercising. I've been doing all the things that I hate to do, which one of the things I hate to do is eat less. But I've been doing all that, and I got to get some of this weight off. And I'm down 22 pounds. It's not going to get any easier. But that's it, buddy. You can still pick on me about it. I still got about 80 to go, but so far so good.
All right, good work down there, Kelly. We really appreciate it, man. Kelly Sander live from Media Day in New Orleans. Dima leaving early in the morning. He's going to pick up the West Side for us tomorrow. We'll be talking to Dima tomorrow at 1 o'clock from a live remote we're going to be doing over in Laurel. Look forward to all of that. When we come back, just this morning, Heath Hinton had a sit-down with the one and only Will Hall. We're going to hear what Coach Hall relayed to him as the Super Talk Eagle Hour continues.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net, 4th Street Bar and Grill. We appreciate those great, great folks. The place to go for all your Southern Miss apparel. The place to go for a great lunch 5 days a week or a good evening meal. And there's always a lot of fun down at 4th Street. Also want to thank our good buddies at Town & Country Cleaners Hattiesburg, one of their original dry cleaners in Hattiesburg. Located on Hardy Street since the early 1980s, they do a variety of cleaning services. We know you'll be happy. We appreciate all that Town & Country Cleaners does. Really a historic part of the business community here in Hattiesburg. All right, Next up on the show, Heath Hinton, Big Gold Nation. We don't have a better friend of this show than Heath Hinton, and we've been buddies a long time. Heath, always appreciate your contribution. I know you sat down with the man himself this morning, Will Hall, and other than him making a comment about Dema predicting that they would only win four games, what was the main thing you took from your conversation with Coach Hall today?
Well, for once, he told me that Dema was on his no-fly list, so Dema, you're in trouble. I'm sorry. Will said he's going to take everything out on you in the press conferences this year. I feel
well, that's going to be an awkward interview with him tomorrow. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I'm telling you, man. You better watch out. No, no, that's not Will Hall. We all know Will. the one good thing I can say about Will is he is one of the, and I really mean this, more honest and open head coaches I've had the chance to interview or be around. And I'm not saying other coaches aren't honest. That's not what I'm saying. But Will just, there's no beating around the bush to it. He just gets straight to things. And, right. You know, we were talking, and one of the things he mentioned was kind of what should people at Southern Miss be excited? What is one thing he can point to that people should be excited about, you know, this coming up year with their struggles in the past? And the point he made was, which is true, he said, recruiting. He said, we've been, you know, top three straight years, and we finally got all those young men, and they've matured in the system. We haven't lost like other schools have. We haven't had to replace. He said, I think we've done a good job there, and I think we've done a good job of adding pieces. And, you know, I think that's something that you got to look at when it comes to Will. And it's the foundation and the character of the program now. And I think he had to turn that around. People don't remember, he came in, and his first year he had to deal with only 13 scholarships, low APR on the team, which caused issues. And then not only that, you're dealing with COVID, and they decided to throw in the transfer portal on him. That's all his first-year head coach. So that's a lot to go through. And then the second year, because of, you know, the class was so front-ended, they really had a good season last year. Because they had to recruit and rebuild it, not so much. And then he really thinks that this year's team is he's cautiously optimistic. He's really excited about what he sees.
Heath, when you talked to him, and was he able to mention anything about the wide receiver core and what they added there?
Well, I asked him. I said, you know, what is one group that people, when you look at this team, that was one thing that may surprise people. And he kind of mentioned two things. He's got skill positions at tight end, wide receiver. He said there's two. He said, I think offensive line, they're going to be a lot better. And he also mentioned the quarterbacks. He said this is the first time we've had quarterbacks who have actually won games in college starting the season. And you go back and think about that, and you're like, wow. Yeah. I mean, this is the first time he's had a quarterback that's actually been on the field to win games. Not quarterbacks who've been part of winning programs, but quarterbacks who have been on the field and won games. And he's got that with Crawford and Rodemaker, and then, you know, John White coming in. What a winner he was in high school. That kind of stood out to me a little bit. And you don't think about it. He really hasn't had a quarterback before his season started that had won college football games.
Yeah. You know, Heath, I think
that makes the wide receiver group even better because you have that experience back.
Heath, I think back to the game last year against Old Dominion. I was right there on the sideline in the last 3 minutes of the game when they drove down the field but just could not get a forward push on the line of scrimmage from the 2-yard line. Just could not push Old Dominion back enough to score. So clearly there needs to be improvement there. Did he mention his thoughts about the O-line we will see this year?
Yeah, there's one thing he said that's going to surprise people is how good the O-line's going to be. Pieces coming back and pieces they recruited that they've been able to work with for a couple of years now, and guys they transferred in. You know, got, you know, strong offensive line in South Alabama, bought in a guy from the MAC to come in and play. I think they're really, I think the offensive line is going to be one of those things that people are going to see a big improvement on this year. And Coach Hall is echoing that people are going to be surprised this offensive line, and they're going to be able to get that push when they need it. Whereas last year, not so much. Yeah, you just needed 2 yards to win a football game, and you couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And that was devastating, and I think you're going to see changes in that. And also offensively, Will took responsibility on he said, you know, maybe because I was head coach, I shortchanged the offense last year. I wasn't able to do things that I didn't have time to plan like I should have. And he said he thought last season makes him a better head coach because of what he witnessed and that he has to give that up. And I think that's going to make a difference as well.
It was no doubt that after the South Alabama game, when they came back that week against App State and then the following games after that, they looked like a completely different team. I wonder if he mentioned anything about what you're saying about him giving up the play calling duties to Coach Joseph, and then you know, how is he kind of drowning out the noise that's surrounding the program? Feels like all the fans kind of have a, you know, a knife up to his throat. If you don't win this many games, you're, you know, all this stuff that is pretty unrealistic, obviously. But did he say anything about drowning out the noise and just going and doing what he loves and coaching football?
No, I think that's one of those things a college football coach, you just learn to deal with as part of the territory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. You don't win games, people start calling for your job. You win games, and everybody's your favorite cousin.
Right.
Are you everybody's favorite cousin? That's just part of the territory. As being a college football coach, you have to deal with that. He knows what people think. He knows you don't have to – he knows. He's very well aware of what people says. But he's also has to learn since he's been a head coach that you can't worry about it. You got to do what you think is right and move forward. And I think that's what he did by, you know, naming new coordinators, coming in with a defensive system that he's comfortable with as compared to one he wasn't with last year. And I think he's listening to himself and making those decisions that he feels is going to put this team in a better place to win.
Do you get the sense when you're with him, Heath, that he's feeling pressure? I don't. I think I get the feeling that he's obviously very intelligent. I get the feeling that he understands what has to happen and that he's just got his head down moving forward to make sure that happens. What's your sense in that regard?
I don't. The same guy that I met, you know, the first time that I talked to him, you know, he's the same guy. He's the same person that's, hey, man, you know, he's always very cordial. I don't see the stress in him. Now, maybe he does a great job of holding it in, but I don't see the stress in him. I see a guy that, you know, really cares for his players. And if there is stress, he doesn't show it, and he does a good job of hiding it. But, no, I don't. I don't see that stress in him. I think he believes in what he does as a coach, and I think he believes in what his coaches are doing. And at the end of the day, if he does what he believes is right and what he believes is going to win, that's what he's going to stick with. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, it does. But I don't think the pressure is adding up. I don't think that. I think that he's the type of guy that he just keeps on going, and whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
Just 1 minute left. One thing, he's got to replace the best player on the team from last year, Frank Gore Jr. Did he comment on the running back that might – step in those big shoes?
Oh, yeah, he's really proud with his running back group. I mean, that's one thing that when you talk to him about teams this year, was, you know, he said something not many people remember, but, you know, he had a certain running back that was kind of pushing Frank Gore for some starts last year before he got injured. And I kind of remember that, and that was, you know, Rodriguez Clark. And he said he was kind of pushing for some playing time, and then he got hurt. But he also said, you look at Kenyon Clay, who, if you watched him in the Louisiana game, he was awfully impressive. And then the young man, Jalen Washington, everybody thought that one of the best recruits in the class at running back. I think he's really happy with running back class. I think they're guys that can do a bunch of things. He's got, everybody can catch the ball out of the backfield. They run hard. Kenyon Clay's more of the, you know, bigger body at 220-plus pounds. Yeah, I think he's real happy with the running back class.
Well, I hope you know, as always, we appreciate your contribution to our show. Real quick, how can people join Big Gold Nation?
Yeah, just go to southernmiss.rivals.com and click on that, click on join. And, you know, we got Will Hall. We're just going to be talking to all the assistant coaches. We've almost got all of the defensive coaches going through before the season. And we'll be talking to the rest of them and getting updates. A lot of fun. Come join us.
All right, Heath. Thank you. Heath Hinton, everybody. Big Old Nation. Check it out. We think you'll be glad. Big Old Nation. Follow Dima Mixon and listen to the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day. It's everything you need to know. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, want to thank the one and only Kelly Santer and, of course, Heath Hinton for bringing those great reports on Southern Miss Football Media Day down at the Sun Belt Conference in New Orleans. We're looking forward to having Dima down there tomorrow. Kelly and Dima will both be bringing back multiple interviews with coaches from throughout the league, and we'll be bringing those to you in the next few days and weeks to come. This segment is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. It's a great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. It is a state-of-the-art facility, and it is fine, and Luke Reynolds runs it, and there's really no better place to take your children if you want them to be the best they can in their chosen sport of baseball or softball. So that is DBAT on Hardy Street, and we're always happy to promote them. One more reminder about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. On the road tomorrow at Trust Care in Laurel, Dima will be in New Orleans, so we'll be connecting up from Laurel to New Orleans. Dima, what is it you're hoping to learn and hear tomorrow when the western side of the league puts on their show?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of new coaches on the west side of the league. You got Troy with a new coach, South Alabama with a new coach. I think there's one more, but there's several teams with new coaches, so it'll be interesting to hear their visions for their program. I'll get to speak with each one of them to bring all of our listeners here some great insight, and then most importantly for me, and especially for the show, I'm looking forward to hearing what Will Hall has to say, and Ty Mims and Jaleel Clemens. I'm looking forward to seeing their perspective on the season. I'm also looking to see how they've kind of been since everything happened in June with the death of MJ Daniels, because we haven't really spoken to them since that one press conference we got with some of the players. I'm looking forward to hearing if there's a front runner in the quarterback situation. I know he won't say it, but we have to ask it, you know, and it would be criminal not to ask it. But yeah, it'll be fun. It's always a good time down there. It's going to be a long day. I have to get up pretty early, and I'll be there most of the day tomorrow. But it's worth it, and it'll be fun. It's normally a good time down there. So,
who outside of Will Hall do you think you'll look most forward to hearing from? Did you have the most interest in hearing from?
I'd say Major Applewhite at South Alabama, because, you know, he's obviously been in that program for a while. But it'll be really interesting to hear kind of his vision for the program and to know what South Alabama has done to Southern Miss in the past couple of seasons. It'll just be interesting to hear his perspective on the Golden Eagles this season and see where he stacks the cards when the Jaguars come to Hattiesburg sometime in the fall. And that'll be a big game for the Golden Eagles and South Alabama, who I think in the preseason poll was finished fourth, and South Alabama comes to Southern Miss in late November. And, you know, Mr. Bob, I just hope that that Southern Miss is playing meaningful football in November, and it would be awesome. It would be awesome to get to that South Alabama game with, you know, maybe even the West on the line. Yeah. And
we make no bones here about our feelings about Will Hall, how much all of us like him personally and how much fun it is to work with him. But, you know, Dima, I don't need to tell you this, but the resurrection of the football program goes beyond the just the borders of the football stadium. It increases business.
Yes.
It increases optimism, enthusiasm in the community. If Will can get this turned around and moving in the right direction, and Southern Miss can start competing in the next couple of years for the Sun Belt Football Championship, put in perspective from your point of view how big that would be for the school.
I mean, it'd just be ginormous. I mean, just to have football back, I mean, it's just ginormous because, you know, you get to the first game against Southeastern Louisiana, the first home game, that's when all the students are there and all this stuff. And then recent years, they all leave by halftime because the interest in it is so low. But I know, for a matter of fact, you know, Will Hall is the one to do it. And I've said that for the last few years, and I still think this season can change a lot of minds, and I hope he does, and I hope that they just excel, because nobody deserves for Southern Miss to excel more than Will Hall, in my opinion.
No one has worked any harder
exactly.
to make that happen.
So
than Will Hall.
Just for him, his sake, I hope that it happens.
Yeah.
And so But for the community, of course, it would be amazing to have Southern Miss yeah. at the level, even the level they were back in 15-16, where they were winning 8 or 9 games, would be fine with me. And then have that one season where they do the 2011 team 11-win season.
Right. Well, it all starts with two things we mentioned already on the show: the offensive line and quarterback play.
Correct.
If you get improved offensive line play, you find yourself a winning, dependable quarterback, then I think Southern Miss certainly is back to the 7-8 wins, 8-9 wins a year, maybe.
I agree, especially with this defense.
Okay. All right, you're not buying the fact, I'm not, you're not buying the fact that Sander ate a turkey sandwich.
When he said that there was gumbo and shrimp etouffee on the meal, mm-hmm. there is no way he only ate a turkey sandwich.
You're not going to try the turkey.
I'll probably be on the, right? By the time y'all call me, I'll be probably stuffing my face with a fourth plate.
All right, good, I don't blame you. And we'll be doing that tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll be talking to Dima from New Orleans tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting the show from Trust Care Health Clinics in Laurel. And we look forward to all of that. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world on mission.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.